This podcast is brought to you by Aldis International, supplying your expert AI and digital transformation staffing needs across the U.S. and Europe. Today, you are listening to our AI in Action series, where leading minds in AI from across the world share their story, success, and advice. AI in Action cuts through the hype and explores the true impact of artificial intelligence in our world today.
You're listening to AI in Action. I'm your host, JP Valentine. Our guest today is Eric Duhaime. Eric is the co-founder and CEO at Centaur Labs. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. So, Eric, let's start with a little background of yourself. Can you give us a bit of an overview of your journey in technology from where you got started and what's led you to where you're at today as the founder and CEO at Centaur?
So as an undergrad and a master's student, I was interested in the intersection of behavioral economics and evolutionary biology. And I was specifically interested in the evolution of cooperation. So what motivated me is this question of when is a group bigger than the sum of its parts? Then I ended up doing my PhD at this place called the Center for Collective Intelligence at MIT. And I got still interested in the same underlying question of when is a group of people bigger than the sum of its parts, but I was interested in particular in how to use information technology to enable people cooperating in new ways. So, you know, the center, most of my research and most of what the center is about is crowdsourcing human-computer interaction and the wisdom of crowds. And that's what motivated me. So I was first interested in how to combine people's opinions. So if you may have heard of the wisdom of crowds, ask a bunch of people how many jelly beans are in a jar or something and average their opinions. And the average of those people is normally better than most of the individuals. But I was interested in what do you do if it's a skilled task? So if it's look at this brain MRI and tell me if the person has cancer, well, you know, you don't just want to ask 100 random people and average their opinions. So you probably want to trust a doctor if there's one doctor and 99 random people. But what do you do if you have multiple doctors, multiple people with different levels of expertise? And the core insight is you want to do two things. One is you want to measure performance, which sounds obvious. People don't necessarily do it in the healthcare domain. Are you good? And they're going to say, yes, I went to med school. Of course I'm good. But they don't know how they compare to their peers. They don't know data-driven analytics on their performance. And the second piece is when you're combining people's opinions, you don't necessarily want the five best people, let's say. It's more like putting together the optimal trivia team. You want people that are good at sports, people that are good at pop culture, et cetera. So if you ask a dermatologist if they're good, they're going to say, yes, I'm good. I went to med school. But then if you say, are you better at classifying cancer on dark skin versus light skin? Or are you better at classifying melanoma or basal cell? They might give you an answer. But what really matters is what is their comparative advantage compared to other people? What is their role on the trivia team? Are they the sports person? Are they the person that's really good at classifying cancer on dark skin? And they might not really know that. So if you take those two things into account, I found during my PhD, I could get people to do things like classify skin lesions and combine their opinions. And if you measure performance and overweight the people that are good and create these teams of people, you can get people who are lightly trained, think med student types, and you can get groups of them to outperform board certified experts. And that was the main insight that led us to launch the company.
Thank you for that background. Fascinating. And I'm sure we'll get into it a bit more as you talk to us about Centaur. So you've already teed it up. The early work was the inspiration and idea behind Centaur Labs. So speaking to an audience of data and tech professionals, tell us about Centaur Labs. What is the mission of the business? What is the overall objective? And then we can jump into your use of analytics and automation and AI that helps you achieve that mission.
Yeah, so our goal is to annotate the world's medical data. So you have a massive amount of data being created daily in the medical industry, but most of it is unstructured, and therefore you can't derive insights from it. You certainly can't do things like build artificial intelligence algorithms on a bunch of unstructured data, at least not that successfully. So I think healthcare data is something like 30% of the world's data, and it's an increasing amount every year. And our goal is to annotate that data to enable researchers and practitioners to create artificial intelligence algorithms that can improve patient care in the long run.
I love it. So Can you give me a bit of an overview of what the journey has been like from when you first founded back in 2017 to where you're at today, 2022, and some of the milestones and also some of the challenges that you faced early on?
We started the company when I was getting these research results showing that we could outperform board certified dermatologists at this diagnostic task of classifying skin lesions. And when we started the company, the legal name of the company is still actually Centaur Diagnostics, not Centaur Labs. But first, when we got these results, I thought, great, I can outperform board certified dermatologists. Let me go cure cancer. But we got enough feedback early on. Wait a second, who's going to sue you? How are you going to get reimbursed? We realized that providing official diagnostics in this way was a difficult problem. And that's when we stumbled into this data labeling for AI market, which was a great change because it's a large, fast-growing market. And every company that's making AI for X in the healthcare industry, what they need is very large data sets accurately annotated. And we can not only achieve the accuracy, but we can achieve the scale. So early on, that shift in focus from thinking about the technology as something that could provide diagnostics to actually helping the companies that are creating AI tools, that was definitely a change that occurred early on in the company's life.
Eric, you already touched on the evolution of Centaur and how it's evolved from originally being diagnostics to now AI and automation. Is there a recent example that you could give us of a project or a customer engagement where, from first conversation to impact, you can walk us through the journey for the customer and then also what you guys do behind the scenes to get it fully implemented?
Yeah, so what a lot of people think of us, they immediately think of radiology because there's a lot of radiology use cases on the market today already with AI applications. And I think the reason for that is that the data is relatively standard compared to a lot of other data in healthcare. So actually, a lot of what we do is things like annotating medical text, scientific text also, so classifying scientific abstracts to make it easier for companies developing drugs to quickly scan the literature and find everything that's been done about symptom management or whatever it is. And early on, I mentioned we started with dermatology and that we've done a bunch of radiology. I wondered whether we should just focus on one or two verticals here. And I've been continually surprised at the types and the variety of data that we see and the variety of applications that we work on. So for example, I never would have thought of audio data as a type of important medical data. And we have multiple clients where we're annotating audio clips of heart and lung sounds. One example I can give you is this company Echo, EKO, which is a digital stethoscope. So if it's a digital stethoscope, you can take a recording of heart and lung sounds, which can enable, clinicians to get another opinion. They can ask their colleague, hey, what do you think of this? Is there a heart murmur here? And in the future, obviously, that can also enable relatively unskilled people doing a home call, for instance, to capture valuable data and ask colleagues about it. But I think more interestingly, it means that they can build AI into this hardware. We've been working with this company, Echo, where they have tens of thousands of these short recordings of people's heart and lung sounds. And if they want an artificial intelligence algorithm that can, say, identify a heart murmur, the way that you train that algorithm is you need these tens of thousands of clips annotated for these have heart murmurs and these don't have heart murmurs. What we do is we have an army of medical students and professionals around the world that are trusted based on their performance at this task. And then we combine multiple opinions together to get accurate annotations for whether these clips have a heart murmur or not. And then Echo can use that data to train an artificial intelligence algorithm to help clinicians directly using their device to know whether there's a heart murmur or not when they're using the stethoscope.
Eric, can you talk to us about the user experience aspect of Centaur and particularly focus on the app? Because I know it's something that is quite innovative and makes the use of this technology very easy on the customer side. Walk us through what that's in and how you've gone about using the user experience aspect combining with the AI side.
We have this mobile data annotation app called Diagnosus, one word diagnosis, but with a U instead of an I as the second to last letter. And that's what I think is really unique about what we do. So most data annotation today, you either have a bunch of in-house experts who are annotating data, and we find you hire a bunch of experts for hundreds of dollars an hour, and it's really a problem of herding cats. You pay these experts and they think, great, I'm working for a cool AI startup. And then after a few hours of doing labeling, they realize, oh, wait, all I'm doing is super tedious labeling. This isn't very fun. And they start doing their annotation when they've had 3 glasses of wine, or maybe they're getting lazy on a Friday, and their performance is not as good as you'd expect. And that's a really difficult problem for companies that are trying not just to have accurate annotations, but to scale to tens or hundreds of thousands or millions of annotations. So what we've done is, rather than hire workers at an hourly rate and need to manage them and train them and fire them if they're bad, and some people just aren't good at some of these skilled tasks, what we have is tens of thousands of medical students and professionals around the world that quite literally compete with each other for cash prizes to annotate data most accurately. So you could think of the app as, it borrows some insights from Duolingo, the language learning app. A lot of our people are medical students that like that they can get feedback on their performance and see how they're improving at tasks over time. And since this is a data science community, imagine most people will be familiar with Kaggle, the data science competition site. I think of it a little bit like Kaggle also, except for rather than submitting AI models, our users are submitting with their brains, basically. So people need to look at hundreds of chest x-rays or whatever it is. And we randomly mix in cases where we know the answer to measure people's performance and give them feedback with ones that we need to annotate for our clients. And what's really nice about this is it's a fun, gamified process for the users. They don't feel like they are in a digital sweatshop. They're competing with each other. Just I'm playing chess with someone halfway across the world in between calls, and they're winning money while improving their skills. So today we get over 2 million opinions on a wide range of medical cases through this application. I really feel like we've taken something that, like I said, is traditionally more of a digital sweatshop model, if I'm being cynical, and made it a fun gamified experience where people are getting paid to learn while they are helping to create artificial intelligence systems that will improve patient care in the future.
You are listening to the Aldis Podcast. When you're looking to scale your team, or if you are interested in showcasing your company in a future episode, reach out today. Or if you're in the market for a new role, visit our website to view open positions, www.aldis.com.
Eric, I want to spend a bit of time now talking about the team that you've built and grown over the past few years. Obviously, the technology that you've created is incredibly interesting, and it leaves a lot of room for further evolution and imagination of potential impact. But in order to do that, you've got quite complex problems that you're trying to solve on the AI side. Can you give us some insight into what the makeup of the team is, the various backgrounds that these people have come from, and what the culture is like there at Centaur?
Yeah, I'll start with the founding team. So I convinced a longtime friend from my undergraduate years to quit his job in DC and move up to Boston to start the company with me. And the third co-founder, Tom, is the stepbrother of another longtime friend who was the first hire at a company called Sidecar, which had predated Uber and Lyft. Obviously, they lost the battle against Uber and Lyft, and eventually they sold to GM. But then at GM, he got put on the Cruise team, the self-driving car company, and he was the first engineering manager in charge of data labeling. So he saw this data labeling industry, you know, evolve from nothing for the self-driving car market. We think there's something similar happening in the healthcare market, but the data labeling challenge is more difficult because you need to focus on the skill of each annotator. So Zach is primarily focused on the annotation app, and Tom is primarily focused on how we get customers' data and drive insights and deliver those insights back to them. Besides that, the team, we are about 20 people now. We're growing quickly because we raised our Series A financing last fall. We'll probably be 35 or 40 at the end of the year, but we have 2 great product managers who are managing both the app and then the customer portal where people are interacting with this data. We have a team of data scientists, multiple PhDs who have experience with machine learning and the healthcare industry, and then a lot of engineers to help figure out how to best get customer data and how to derive insights from it. You know, dealing with healthcare data, there's a lot of weird data formats that don't necessarily exist compared to, you know, labeling images for whether they're a cat or dog to try to create an AI for that. Needing to deal with large pathology images or 3D CT scans. These are difficult problems. So we have a lot of investment into data engineering resources also.
Eric, final question from me, staying on the topic of the team and growth. Given the continued success of Centaur, what hiring are you going to need to make in 2022 and beyond, particularly focused on the data science, AI and engineering side? What is it that you'd look for when you're considering candidates?
So in the future, what we're hiring for, we're bringing on a chief information security officer and a chief architect to help us tackle some of these problems. But we're also going to be hiring for data engineers, converting all these data file formats, especially if we can't see them because they're not on our servers. That's a difficult problem. And then data scientists, not necessarily to train machine learning models ourselves, but to figure out how to best weight the opinions of people from our network and combine those opinions to the correct answer in order to get that back to our client. And this is actually a really difficult problem because it incorporates questions like, who should you send a case to given what we already know about this case? So given person A and person B and person C, two out of the three of them said that this was benign. And given we know that this is a difficult problem because there's inter-rater disagreement, and given we know the performance profiles of all these different annotators on the platform and how good they are at different tasks, who do we send this to right now to get their opinion? And when do we know we're done with a case? When do we know we have enough information on it that we have the right label? So there's a lot of different variables: which annotators are available, how good they are, how much we trust their performance history, how rich that history is. Just like when you log on to Facebook and they know exactly what you want to buy or what you want to click on, they don't know anything about you when you've only clicked once. So when an annotator logs onto our platform, we don't trust them until they've looked at hundreds or thousands of cases. So there's a lot of rich data science problems that we need to tackle, and we'll certainly be hiring a wide range of data scientists, machine learning engineers, and data engineers to help us tackle those problems.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for coming on today. Really appreciate you talking to us about the background of yourself, the origin story behind Centaur, and some of the really interesting work that you're doing within the healthcare data space. It sounds like there's a lot of exciting growth ahead, so we wish you, the team, and everyone at Centaur the best of luck in the years ahead. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Aldis Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any Android podcast of choice. You can also head over to our website, www.aldis.com, to listen to more podcasts, view our open roles, and stay up to date with industry news. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more great episodes coming very soon.